Well, good morning, everyone. You can have a seat. My name's Michelle. I'm a pastor here at WMB. For those of you I haven't met, you'll find me most Sundays at our Kitchener site, where my husband Adam is the site pastor there as well. But Waterloo here is also my home for many years, and it's always a joy to be back here and connect with all of you again and meet some new faces as well. And I want to say hello to those of us who are joining us online. It's a pleasure to connect with you this way this morning too. And I'm here this morning to kick off a new series for June. We've just finished our series, Filled with the Holy Spirit, which finished with a beautiful invitation to come and trust and surrender and become more filled with Him. And today, as we start a new series, it's really just a continuation of what we've just been talking about as we start to look at the overflow of living a life filled by the Spirit. At the start of the book of Acts, we see Jesus' words to his disciples as he was preparing to leave them and return to heaven. And in Acts 1:8, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we look at Jesus' words there, and the first half there, when Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you," that's what we've been looking at with our message and being filled with the Spirit, the power that the Spirit alone brings in our lives to live just like Jesus, to produce His fruit. And we've used different illustrations to explore this, a fireplace that's hot with flames and the heat that radiates out and warms everything around it, or a pitcher of water being poured into a small cup and the cup overflowing as the pitcher continues to pour water and splashes all around it. And in all of these illustrations, we're showing how as we're filled again and again with the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, the life of Jesus is unmistakable. It naturally pours out of us and everyone around us is touched and they see it and Christ shines through us. And so then we go back to our passage in the second half of Jesus' words, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that's what we're getting to this month, the purpose and the calling for us in living this Spirit-filled life, to go out into all the world, into every space in our neighborhoods and places or people we might prefer to avoid, and all the way to the ends of the earth to share the awesome news of new life in Jesus and invite people to experience the Spirit-filled life that we've been tasting and experiencing. And as we've heard, we don't do this by trying hard, but by surrendering and trusting the Spirit to bring His life and His fruit out of us. We're empowered by the Spirit to be His witnesses in the world. And so this is a series we're getting into as we're filled to be sent everywhere with good news. And this mission began in Jerusalem with the apostles and the early church, and it spread throughout the Roman Empire and into the ancient Far East and west into Europe and into North Africa. And in the centuries to follow, missionaries would take the Christian faith throughout the world. And we know that there were both times of incredible transformation, but also of deep pain. And church history and social issues today show that the mission of the church has not always been led by the Spirit. And yet, God is faithful, and His purpose prevails, and He continues to bring movements of repentance and renewal, and He continues to raise up and send out new Spirit-filled disciples. And in and over all of that, the beautiful thing is that today, the mission of the gospel is a global endeavor. Today, mission is from everywhere to everywhere. It's no longer just from the West or Europe to the world, but today God is calling people from every part of the world and sending them to every nation. We send missionaries from our church all over the world, and we have people coming as missionaries to Canada to partner with us here for the gospel in Canada. We're all in this together. Isn't that amazing? And we see this even within WMB, and today's service is a beautiful example of that. We're going to hear shortly from missionaries who have been sent from Canada and from the U.S. to Portugal, and we've heard testimonies from new members who have come from South America, and we're going to be celebrating baptisms at the end of the service, including a Canadian and a family from the Middle East, and it's so beautiful. People are moving from everywhere to everywhere, and God is sending us with the gospel wherever we go. And I'll be back next week, and I'm excited to share more of this. And throughout this series, you'll hear stories and testimonies from some of us here at WMB and from the Global Church as we do this together. And at WMB, we participate in global mission, particularly through what we call our global partners. We have four global partners, and you can meet them on our website, and you'll meet a couple of them this month and hear more through the series. But the vision for our global partners is mutual partnership, to serve together and to learn together, to recognize that we each need the other and we each have something to offer the other, to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to strengthen and encourage one another in this Spirit-filled life. And so one of our global partners is in Portugal, as we partner with our sister Mennonite Brethren churches in Lisbon. And our MB churches in Lisbon are another great example of people being sent from everywhere to everywhere, as God has led people from around Europe and Africa and even South America and brought them together in Lisbon to be his witnesses and build his church in Portugal. And so this morning, I'm excited to welcome Joanna and Jonathan Gutierrez and Little Valen as well on behalf of our MB Church in Portugal. Joanna and Jonathan serve with Multiply as missionaries, and they work together with national leaders and pastors in Lisbon. And they're going to give more of an introduction in a moment, but I wanted to mention, because I know many of you have met Otto and Marjorie Eck over the years. They also served as missionaries in Portugal until they retired last year, and we celebrated with them on their retirement just over a year ago. And after many years, Joanna and then Jonathan were an answer to Otto and Marjorie's prayers, as they had been praying for a long time for God to send new missionaries to join them so they could pass on the work to the next generation. And so Joanna and Jonathan continue in the ministry begun by Otto and Marjorie, and you're going to hear stories of our sister churches as they teach us this morning. But as they make their way up, you guys can come on up. I wanted to remind you as well, extend an invitation. Today, right after the service, we're holding a missions cafe. So we'll be just across the foyer in the chapel. We have a light lunch with some soup and desserts. There's no charge. You're all invited. We'd love to have you stick around for lunch and hear a little more from Joanna and John, and at our missions cafe, they'll share a bit more about our sister churches and what God is up to in Portugal and ways that you can be involved in that, and you'll have a chance to ask questions and connect with them. And so you're going to hear from them now, but we'd love for you to stick around and join us as well and hear more from them after today's service. But now, Joanna and Jonathan are going to teach this morning on what it means to be sent in reconciliation. And I'm going to pray for them. With them is Little Valen, who these days is sticking pretty close to Mom, and especially as he's in new and unfamiliar places. This might be a trio up here, and we ask for your grace for Little Valen as he's adjusting to new places and experiences. I'm sure many of us can relate to that as well. We're so happy to have you guys here. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing with us this morning. And let me pray for you guys. And then we'll get going. All right. Some added entertainment this morning. You know, we talk about being family, right? And this is a great example. And they, as a family, are really on mission together. And so you're seeing that in some of its truest and most beautiful sense as God works through Joanna and John and even Little Valen as a part of his work in Portugal. But let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to offer this time to you. We thank you for the gift and privilege of serving together with your global church. carrying the work and ministry of the gospel right here in Waterloo and Lisbon and to the ends of the earth. And so, Father, we just pray for your anointing on Joanna and John right now. Would your spirit speak through them to us? And would you teach us and give us vision for what it means to be sent in reconciliation, celebrating the work you're doing in us and the message you've given us to share? And just pray for your blessing on Joanna and John and even little Valen as they visit and share with us this morning. We offer this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello?
Hi. Good morning. It is good to be here. It is the first time, I believe, sharing on a Sunday, but I've been with Waterloo MB multiple times. As Michelle mentioned, I joined Otto and Marjorie in 2017, and then God's so good in the ways that he calls us, and he calls each one of us in different ways. And Jonathan and I met in 2019, got married 2020, and then returned the following year with a baby in the arms back to Portugal. And so this is our first Mina together. So we're excited to be here with you. And as Michelle said, we'll share more about the ministry afterwards, but we just wanted to have this moment to open the Word of God together, and we'll share a little glimpse of Portugal as we open the Word of God. So let's open.
So we will open in 2 Corinthians 5, 11 to 21, and it is a privilege to be here and to dig in the Word with you guys. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not condemning ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about our appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of God, for love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he has died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we are once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you to, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So in this text, it talks about reconciliation. So let's define it. What is reconciliation? So according to Strong's Concordance, using the original Greek, reconciliation is an exchange. That is a restoration to favor, atonement, or reconciling, or reconciliation. This means that there once was a relationship, and it was broken, and now it needs to be restored. The scripture makes it clear that we were made to be in a relationship with God. In Colossians 1:19-22, we have a vivid picture of what sin did to alienate us. It broke relationship between us and God, but praise be to God, for we see here that what he has done was to restore what was once broken. In Colossians 1, 19 to 22, it says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And you who once were alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him."
So pictured here with this question of what is reconciliation, we have just a simple picture of a neighborhood. This is the neighborhood where our church family is. There's a little door. And when we were praying and asking God, where are we supposed to be? This was the neighborhood in Massima that doesn't have a church. There's no church existing in the north part of Massima. And so there was just this confirmation that, yes, we're to stay here. And there was many other pieces. You can ask us later. But the point is, every home in this neighborhood represents families. Families that either whether they have religion or they don't have religion, they've turned their back on it, they need reconciliation. Amen? Religion doesn't reconcile us to God. Jesus does. And yet to be reconciled, we need to recognize our need for reconciliation. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." This gives us a big wake-up call to realize that there's no one. None of us are good enough. None of us are able to be before God without Jesus. All of us need reconciliation.
So in Portugal, many have been taught that they are far from God, but have not been given the truth of how to be reconciled. So here we have a picture of Fatima. Fatima is a pilgrimage place that is considered to be a more spiritual place, meaning that they believe that their prayers are more likely to be answered when they're prayed at this place. Here we see indulgences, praying by lighting a candle to hold before a saint, hoping that that might receive favor. So many have felt the emptiness of religion, have turned away from it, and they live for themselves. In conversations that we continue to hear a common theme that people believe that there's something beyond religion, but they are unsure that it is found in God of the Bible, since the religion of the country claims to use the Bible as well. So we recognize that there needs to be the work of the Holy Spirit. We continue to recognize with our own need, nor can we convince others of their need. This means we need to begin and continue prayer as we are sent. In verse 14, it says that we are controlled by the love of Christ, that the love of Christ compels us. In verse 15, it says, and he has died for all, and those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who their sake died was once raised. Our lives are no longer our own. The call to all of us is to lay down our lives and follow Jesus in all areas of our lives. Amen? We are all being sent out of our communities, our families, our workplaces, our schools. Perhaps God is calling someone to go. So we are compelled by love of Christ. It means to be giving our time, our finances, and our focus on the kingdom because of his love for us. As we experience the love of Christ, we cannot help but share it with others. For example, being sent to Portugal from the outside, it looks great. It is a beautiful place. There's beautiful beaches. The food is amazing. There's great history, and the agriculture is beautiful as well. But there is a great challenge in building relationships with people, building trust, and ultimately trusting the Holy Spirit's work when it comes, when it seems like nothing is happening. It is easy to assume where people are at, or they take offense in how people respond of the lack of response. We need the love of Christ to consume us and compel us to keep reaching out.
One example of how God called myself into Portugal was in 2012. I did a 10-month missions trip called Trek. And in that time, the first 2 weeks, you don't know where you're going. And so I just sensed God saying, open your hands, trust me. Because I had my mind set on another place. For 4 years, I'd been preparing for that place. And I just sensed God saying, open your hands, trust me. And I'm going to Portugal. I was like, where is Portugal, Lord? And I found out it's in Europe. And I go to Europe and I'm like, okay, 7 months here. I don't want to just pass the time and then go on with my life and go back to my plan. So I simply ask God, show me your heart. And you know, that's the most powerful prayer you can do, I think, because when you ask God to show you his heart, he will. And as you can tell, God's broken my heart for Portugal. I'm still there now 10, 11 years later. Here we are as a family serving in Portugal. Another way in which God has to compel us by love is here we have a couple pictures. The pictures at the top and left are from our Christmas activity. Summer activity was going great. We had lots of kids in Portugal, is maybe a handful. So we had lots of kids, and we were super excited and making these connections. We had Christmas, we shared the story, had presents even. And then there was months, well, it felt like months, but it was 3 months of no one but our children. Our little guy, our family, another family, they had 3 boys, 2 kids. And we're just like, okay, Lord, what's going on? Where are the kids? Your heart is for this community. And so all we could do was just keep asking God, give us your heart so that we will remain here with our doors open. And the month before we left, the picture with the 2 little kids playing with the littlest one on the keyboard, they get dropped off. And the mom says, it's today, right? And then she leaves. And so for the next 2.5 hours, we had these kids with us. And they had never even heard the creation story. So we had the joy of sharing with these 2 kids are from Guinea-Bissau, the story of creation and who Creator God is and who they are, made in the image of God. But it has to be compelled by Christ's love, or else we get discouraged and we forget why we're doing, or we do without love. We need to be compelled by the love of God.
So we are sent out with a message of reconciliation. In verse 18 and 19, it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God through Christ, and now as ones who have been reconciled, we are being entrusted with this message of reconciliation. So we must go out. We are compelled by his love. And we must share this message. In verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us, that we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God.
We would like to introduce you to a young couple. Their names are Katarina and Bruno. Katarina, I met in 2017 and had the privilege for 4 years to walk with her, open the Bible with her, just to answer questions and wrestle with the hard questions. Then she started dating Bruno, and I left to get married. And we stayed in touch, but Bruno wasn't interested in Jesus, so it was kind of off and on. When we came back, we had them into our home and just had a great visit, getting to know Bruno and Katarina, getting to know my new family. And that was just the beginning. Then we had them for a second time, and it surprised us to find out that just being with us intrigued Bruno to go on this journey of discovery. He started watching YouTube shorts, and the next time, Katarina's like, do you think when we get together, Bruno can ask some questions? And we left there going, he's already a believer. He already believes what he's asking about. And then the following time, we're listening to them, and I look at Bruno and I said, are you ready to lay down your life and follow Jesus? And with tears in his eyes, he's like, yes. And you can pray for them, as the journey to baptism is really hard. There's definitely a battle around that, but they're in. And these two are already telling their colleagues, are already doing apologetics. They're science majors, and they're going, how did we ever see this without God? And so they're just on fire. They've been reconciled and now are appealing, be reconciled to God.
So here we have our team that we work with. The quick introduction is Pastor Marcus with his wife Salma. They are originally from Angola, but both live in Portugal and have lived there for most of their lives. And they have 3 beautiful daughters that you see there. On the left, we have Raul and Alicia. Raul is from Colombia and Alicia is from Peru. And then we have, and they have 1 daughter as well. Then there's Nadine in the center, who is from Germany. And then we have Anej and Bruno, who are national Portuguese with 2 great boys as well. So we have a very unique, beautiful team that represents most of the world, I think. But the point is that if you have been reconciled to God through the blood of Christ, you are now being entrusted with this message of reconciliation. Reconciled means that our lives are not our own. You have been restored to life. So how is God sending you with this message of reconciliation? Who is God putting in front of you? And how is he inviting you to participate in the message going out globally?
Thank you. May we pray for you? Pray for all of us? Lord Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, we are privileged to be in your presence. We are privileged to have been given the right to be called children of God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for reconciling us to God. And now, Lord, we ask for boldness to go out with this message of reconciliation, that you would take it even deeper in our hearts, what it means to be reconciled to the living God, and that out of this and out of your love, we would implore others on your behalf, be reconciled to God. Give us a greater love for our neighbor. Give us a greater love for those in our sphere of influence and for the globe. Lord, we love you. Be honored and glorified in and through our lives. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.